Isn't that beautiful? Oh, that song is one that I've got the CD of. I'll have to find it on Pandora and be a little more progressive. But I still have my CD player in my office, and that's a song that I love to play when I need to really get into the energy of that daily word that was from the day of my birth, that it's about being willing to be a channel but not doing it just of yourself. And that song helps me open to recognize the depth and breadth of what prayer is for all of us. And it's beautiful like that. There are times where I put that kind of music on to help me pray. There are other times I put on the soundtrack to Mamma Mia to help me pray. Different kinds of music for different moments of life. And there is something wonderful about music, because music is halfway between the unspoken language of spirit and the language of the spoken word. It blends the two, which is why music and chant can open portals of prayer to you when you can't seem to get there on your own for whatever reason. It said the world was chanted into being. It's the very elemental energy of creation. It's not in the boxes of words. It's in that fluid place between the seen and the unseen. And that's the place where miracles happen, I believe. I think Jesus so profoundly had one hand reaching out in the world to the people there and to the experiences there, and the other hand touching the realm of spirit with infinite possibilities. And through him, he was able to bring them together. And then to remind us that that's what we're all here to do as well. Charles Fillmore says, prayer is the exercise of faith in the presence and power of the unseen God. True prayer brings about an exalted radiation of energy, shifts energetic fields. H. Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth said, the secret place of the Most High is the point of mystical union between man and spirit, the God in us, our highest self. Emerson says, prayer is the contemplation of facts from the highest point of view. And Khalil Gibran, for what is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether? Isn't that beautiful? The expansion of yourself into the living ether. It's about connecting you beyond the outer appearance of the world into the spiritual underpinning and infilling energy that is the world and you and your life. We're hardwired. The neuroscientists have discovered we are hardwired to connect with something beyond ourselves. And I love that. And the thing about prayer is it literally is hardwired, this connection, this desire for communion, connection, and dialogue between the seen and the unseen, between humanity and the divine. And I've always loved and believed that it was a dialogue that went both directions. Growing up, what I was taught was more with prayer was things you memorized and said, and you had to sit a certain way and have a certain attitude to do prayer. And at the same time, they said, pray without ceasing. I'm not praying anymore. It's impossible to do it. If you put prayer in a box, there is no way you can do it without ceasing. But if prayer becomes like breath, an in-breath of receiving energy and then an out-breath of being energy that you give back to the world, a flow between the seen and unseen. And the coolest thing of all is there is no right or wrong way to pray. When I went to first was in ministerial school, we had a class in life of prayer, and I said, well, what's the, and we all were saying, okay, what's the right way to pray? Is that chapter one in the book? And it's no. There are many ways, I believe, to pray, as there are presences, and I include animals as well as people, and as many circumstances or situations that all of those infinite beings encounter. Because prayer is simply a communion and a dialogue. And the other cool thing about it is you don't need any special equipment to do it. It's not like you have to buy just the right receiver to be able to do it. You are the receiver. It's just opening and allowing it to move through you. There are so many different ways to pray. I know when I talked with my prayer instructor at one point, she was saying how when you are fully prayed up and done your prayer work, she said you have infinite energy and you're out in the world doing everything. And I went and scheduled a session with her. I said, I think I'm doing it wrong. And she said, well, why? I said, the deeper I go and the more I study class, spiritual principles, how to integrate and live those, and the more deeply I pray, the more I need to take a nap. I said, I go home after class, and sometimes when I wake up, my purse is beside the bed, and I've still got my shoes on. And I said, but when I'm asleep, I know I'm integrating things. That's how because I wake up and those ideas aren't just swirling around anymore. They've kind of gently settled into my heart and the core of my being. And she said, oh my gosh, she said, you're absolutely right. Different people do it different ways. That's how it feels for me. What you're describing is exactly what my husband described. And so the very next time we gathered for class, she said, let me clear something up right now. Because it's so easy to think we're not praying good enough, well enough. Even though I'm a minister and I was on a pilgrimage to the cave of the Magdalen for the first time, I'd been there, I'd communed with her, with the windows. I had this amazing experience. And then, as many of you know, on my way back down the mountain by myself through the forest path to the car where my mother was waiting, Shakti and Sky were still up in the cave. But I needed to get back to Mom. I slipped and I fell and I broke my leg all by myself on the mountain. I get my Pioneer Woman badge because I found a stick that Spirit gave me and I got down the mountain. And on the way down, a gentleman started coming past me really fast. And then he stopped. He said, can I help you? And I said, that would be wonderful. And so the angel sent me this presence, and he said, well, I would love to help you because my wife is in the car right now. She fell on the way up and twisted her ankle. And so I told her, you wait in the car. I got her in the car, and then I went back up to leave our prayers. And so he said, I'll tell my wife to pray for you, and you pray for her with your various injuries. The interesting thing was, even having been in the cave of the Magdalen and opening up, as I fell and lay there on the ground, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I must not have prayed well enough. Isn't that interesting? I find that fascinating. Not only am I a new thought, I'm a minister. And I'm on a spiritual pilgrimage to the Magdalene cave. Where does that guilt and that sense of I'm not doing it right come from? Out there. What was interesting is in that moment, this presence came and just said, oh, dear one, no, there's a blessing here. And it was when I got back, and as I fell, I heard, protect your camera. And sure enough, my camera, it's got a few scratches on it, but I held on to it. And when I got back and was stuck with my leg up on pillows, I looked at my pictures from the cave, and that's when I first realized that the stained glass windows had a message, and the presence of the Magdalene came and gave me insights and comfort. And I realized if I hadn't fallen, I would have come back and jumped back in with both feet, and I wouldn't have had that sacred time I needed to discover something amazing that I brought back with me from that experience. And so many times we judge our inner selves against someone else's outer appearance. That is a no-win situation. Each of you is a unique spark of the divine, and through you, the divine gets made manifest in all kinds of ways. And there are times where we wonder where God is. There are times where we are bathing in that presence, like when we hear that song. There are times where the outer world has so much of our attention that it's a little hard to find the time. But I would encourage you, find a little time each day to consciously connect with the divine in whatever way seems right for you. This is a mala, prayer beads. I also work with rosaries as prayer beads. Many of the world traditions have prayer beads as a tactile way for you to focus on doing a mantra to help you settle in. It's like if you get distracted easily, they say, set an alarm and then work on your task until the alarm goes off. Otherwise, the whole time you're doing the task, you're going to be doing this. And so using malas, rosary beads, decade beads, is one way to do that. A walk in nature. When I really need to ground and to feel the presence of God, I don't always go within, I go into the without. If I stand beside the water and listen to the sound of the waves and see the mountains in the distance, I feel connected and infilled. That is prayer. Opening to connect is prayer. You can use mantras. Gandhi recommended mantras and said it's like an elephant going through the village, that's the way we are going through our lives, because it'll stick its trunk into every possible thing. What's that? What's going on? What's over there? Ooh, that smells good. And it will cause chaos as it goes through the village. But if you give the elephant a stick to hold, it holds the stick and it walks peacefully through the village instead of wreaking havoc. That's what a mantra can do for you. Help you find a sense of peace so that you can walk through the wildness of our world and feel that presence. They say there are a few basic types of prayers that most people do. One is, give me. Do this and I'll do that. How many times have you done that one? like David said, the negotiation prayer. How about, even if what you're asking for doesn't happen, whatever it is you were willing to do that you knew was going to be a really good thing if God would do this, how about doing that anyway? And it's okay to ask. It's okay to say, this is what I need, this is what I'm seeking. Another one is called an oops prayer. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Help. It's a cosmic SOS. That's okay too. Ed Rabel, one of my favorite instructors, it was in his 80s when I was at the Village. Someone said, oh, don't you need to always be centered to pray? And he said, no. He said, you can be on the ground in tears. That is prayer. It's an opening. It's a willingness. And sometimes our hearts have to be cracked open to let more light pour in. Thanks is another prayer. And we in Unity believe in gratitude prayers, because gratitude is the greatest way to plant the seed for the next unfolding, as well as to honor the unfoldings that have already taken place. Many spiritual masters say, if you just do one prayer, let it be a prayer of gratitude. Begin your day with whatever it is. It may be, I'm grateful that I'm still under the quilt and I don't have to face my life yet. That's okay. And as you go to bed at night, think of something to be grateful for and fall asleep on that energy of gratitude, because that will help you open up to those wow experiences, the ahas, where something happens and you just go, wow, that's amazing. And I had someone say, oh, well, you should never be amazed when prayers are answered, because that is how it works. Well, that's true, but I also remember Jesus saying, be like a child. And if something amazing happens to a kid, they go, wow, look at that. I don't ever want to lose that. It doesn't mean I don't believe in the power of prayer. In fact, if anything, it says I believe in it so deeply that I want to celebrate it when I notice it. Just this week, I had a small one of those happen. One of the things in planning this year, I'm going to be doing a special workshop. I believe I've got it down for February, that is on how to spiritually navigate these tumultuous times that we're living in. And I'd started making notes because this workshop doesn't exist right now. It's all in spirit and information. I began making notes. And then yesterday, I got the mail, and I got my Venture Inward magazine. I'd been praying for guidance. Give me some material that will be just what will help everyone. And I know it's not just through me, but I know there are some pieces that I need to be open. So last week, after our board meeting, I just said, Spirit, bring me whatever material can come through me to bless people. I get my Venture Inward magazine from the Association of Research and Enlightenment, Edgar Cayce's, that I've been a member of for years. My very first metaphysical book was an Edgar Cayce book when I was 11 years old. And I open the current issue. There is an article, Julian of Norwich, Wisdom in a Time of Pandemic. There is a new book that has just been published by Matthew Fox, who's one of my favorite theologians, Creation Theology. And it's about how Julian of Norwich's spirituality helped her navigate those challenging times. And then I looked at the list, and I looked at the list I had, and they're almost identical. I've ordered this book When it shows up, I say yes. That's an important piece. That's a prayer in itself. When your answered prayer comes, even if it's no, you respond with yes. Another thing yesterday, our sweet, sweet old dog, Leah, who just had her sweet 16th birthday, I told Lane we should have bought her a strand of pearls at sweet 16, suddenly took a turn for the worse on Friday. She's basically deaf and blind, arthritic, trouble getting around, but she's still happy. And then on Friday, she got really, really sick. And so we called, our regular vets couldn't see us, and luckily one of the local vets was able to get her in the afternoon. But all day I held her in prayer. And I knew that whether she was going to get better or whether we were going to be giving her back to the angels, that the most powerful thing I could do was hold her in prayer. And when I reread the daily word from the day of my birth, I went, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to have been doing all my life and what I do for all of you. I can't necessarily change what you're going through, but I can be present to the best of my ability and hold you in prayer. So we held Leah in prayer and let a few people know, and they held her in prayer. And I could feel our dogs that had transferred to the other side. One of them, Sophie, I could feel was kind of not right with her, but nearby. And we went to the vet and we agreed to do a little bit of treatment and to do some lab work to see if she was at the end. And we thought she probably was, but we took her home and loved on her. And then I got a call Saturday. She woke up Saturday morning and was perky. And I'm like, oh, wow. And we got a call from the vet who said, I cannot believe this, but her lab work looks really good. I have no idea what happened. Must have just been a one-off. But answered prayer. Amazing. It would have been an answered prayer as well if they'd said, come, let me help you as you hold her to give her a gentle transition. Because prayer is about just recognizing you're never alone. No matter what is happening, you are never alone. The divine is with you. Let's together say the first line of the Lord's Prayer. Feel that. Our Father who art in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Just feel the Our Father who art in heaven. That's a communal one that has been said for centuries in all different languages and different voices. The first line of the rosary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. An opening to do a circle of prayer beads. How about help? Help! Haven't we all used that one? Thank you. Thank you. How about a mantra? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Say that one. Peace, be still. Be still and know. Be still and know. And now just take a moment of silence. For that is prayer too. From music to silence and everything in between. It's all life. It's all love. It is all an invitation to prayer. James Dillett Freeman says, we pray without ceasing when we habitually meet whatever comes to us with faith and with love, with a mind to draw from the event all it has to give, and a willingness to do whatever has to be done to make the most and the best of it. So you don't have to pray without like this. You can. But pray like this. Let us pray. Oh, just settle for a moment. Give us faith, so we'll be safe. What a beautiful calling in these times. Give us faith, so we'll be safe. And we open our hearts overflowing with gratitude for this incredible world that we are so blessed to share. And so it is, Om Amen and blessed be. And now I go to God in prayer, our inspirational music for you to all take at heart and embody the power of prayer.